join us today. My name is Daniel Cavanaugh, and I'm here with my dad, Charles. This is Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond. We're in pursuit of growing in our understanding of the gospel and discovering what it means to transfer to the next generation. And Dad, last time we talked about the two things, actually, the universal will of God and His inevitable will. Mm-hmm. That word kind of just rolls off the tongue a little bit difficult, so the inevitable will of God. And now we want to take a more, what I would say, a personal look at the will of God by talking about the personal will of God. Last week, kind of maybe just before we jump in this, what's the difference between last week and this week? Why are we going this direction?
Well, we were dealing more with God's overall plan and direction of life and creation and His plan for the ages. And
right.
And there's a sense in which everything's the will of God. All around us, what's happening is the will of God. And number two, it's inevitable in that God ordains what happens and that there are no random molecules, as Rashi Sproul says.
So in other words, historical, in one sense, last week, this week, what does this mean for our lives on an everyday basis?
How does this fit for us?
Yeah. Okay, so we look at the personal will of God. There's kind of two things that we want to break it down underneath. One is His perceptive will, and then number two, His directive will.
Right.
Let's just kind of unfold and unpack, if you will, this His perceptive will.
Well, preceptive comes from the concept of a precept, and a precept is a command or a direction for something to do specifically. God's preceptive will is more obvious in His Word. For instance, you have the Decalogue,
the Ten Commandments.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, thou shalt not, you shall. You know, honor your father and mother.
Pretty
Remember
clear.
The Sabbath day. You shall not have any gods before me. And so on. You know, so, and then you take the New Testament, and Christ's teachings were an expansion of and an explanation of and an application of Old Testament precepts,
right,
in which He gives us more precepts, but basically to love our neighbors as ourselves, love God with all our hearts.
Well, and He took it a step further, because in His ministry, He dealt with the Pharisees and the Sadducees who were trying to catch Him on things. And He would say, well, you guys are all concerned about the letter of the law. I'm more concerned about the spirit of the law. You say, don't sleep with another woman, but I'm saying don't even look at another woman to lust after, because basically you've done that in your heart.
Yeah.
So it's almost like he expounds the Word of God before
He does. He applies it in more far-reaching ways than we ever would.
Yeah. So we've got the Ten Commandments, which are obviously the perceptive will of God, and then we have the Christ commands, which I would say is just more of an exposition of the Ten Commandments. But now, let's kind of break down some of those ones in the New Testament, some of those things that we see as a perceptive that are very clear to us.
There are some things where God just says, this is my will. I mean, the New Testament writer said, this is the will of God. It's interesting that in 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, Paul says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I mean, he could say that about a number of things when he tells us to husbands, love your wives.
Right.
Wives, be in submission to your husbands. Children, obey your parents. All of those are precepts. He could say that after each one of those. But it is interesting, there are some specific places where he says, this is the will of God.
And why do you think that is?
I don't know. It's just an emphasis. It's a matter of emphasis. I don't think, obviously it's not that one's more the will of God than the other.
Right.
Paul is emphasizing, this is God's will. What I have said is what God's direction is. He says it earlier in 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Well, buddy, that's a big one. We are to grow in holiness. We're to be sanctified. I mean, that's said in Hebrews, that we, without sanctification or holiness, no man sees the Lord. Then he goes on to say, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication or moral impurity. So he sometimes will take that phrase that this is God's will. But the truth is every command given by an apostle or a New Testament writer is the will of God.
Well, and anything in the scriptures for that matter, coming across, unless it's a narrative, which we find a lot of in the Old Testament.
Right.
Some people try to make narrative into
and sometimes an
perceptive will of God, and it's just plainly narrative.
Yeah, it's just
but
what
one
happens.
Of the things that the New Testament also brings out is suffering is the will of God. Out of 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, you know, that is a preceptive will of God.
Well, God has ordained that Christians, that His people suffer. It's not a part of It's not just some people. Now, the suffering won't show up the same in every Christian,
right,
but still, there's going to be suffering. And so all of that to say that, you know, God's guides us by what he says do and not do, and that we are, and his moral will is revealed through these precepts.
Another one that comes to my mind is also the ones in regards to authority. Romans 13,
right.
You've got 1 Peter 2, 9 through 15.
Both of those command us to be in subjection to, under the authority of earthly powers, governmental authorities. And we don't have time to go into all the exceptions and what can happen,
right,
if they direct us to do something wrong. But basically it is that Paul commands in Romans 13 to give honor to those who are in governmental positions. Peter says it is the will of God that we submit to those who govern. And we're to, by doing that, we can put to silence the accusations of unlearned and ignorant men. That people want to come against us and accuse us. No, we need to live lives that are exemplary in this way.
You know, it's interesting because you look at all these and we could bring so many out, so many more out of the New Testament in regards to preceptive will of God, the actual commands that,
mm-hmm,
are given, both Christ's commands, the apostles' commands.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that I find very interesting is that sometimes we spend a lot of time talking about the will of God for my life.
Mm-hmm.
What is the will of God for my life? You hear that phrase.
Right.
And I put quotations.
And we usually know what people mean by that.
Right, we do. But when much of the New Testament is clear on what we should do.
What am I going to be? What kind of job am I going to have? Or am,
right,
I going to be a preacher? Or am I going to be a missionary?
For instance, I knew of a well-known speaker at a time. He's in jail now, actually. And he would not pay taxes to the government.
Mm.
And I step back and I look at that and I go, you know, I realize that there's nobody who gets more frustrated when it comes tax season and has to shell out, you know, 25%, 30%. Some people make more, 50% of their income to the government. That's an aggravating thing. But the word is pretty clear on that.
Yeah. Jesus
right,
told the disciples to pay the temple tax to a corrupt temple system.
Right.
So you
look at that and you go, it's not that hard.
No,
it's not that complicated,
yeah,
as the AT&T slogan used to say. And we make it more complicated than it really should be.
Yeah, I mean, you can just take something as practical as the speed limit. Most of us struggle with keeping the speed limit. We like to fudge some. But,
that,
you know, in fact, there's even a little joke among some people that if it's a 55-mile-an-hour speed limit, well, the Christian speed limit's 60. That means you can do that and still but kind of be close to the speed limit. But what if an unconverted person you're trying to witness to is in your car, and they see you driving 75 and a 55? You know, those kinds of things. You drive what speed you want, as far as I'm concerned. But we need to think about those things. Those are a part of the preceptive will of God.
Yeah. And I think we don't pay attention. We read. It's kind of like the old adage, you know, in Scripture. Man sees himself in front of a mirror, he goes away and quickly forgets
what manner of man he was. Yeah.
We do that with Scripture. We quickly forget what we have seen in Scripture that is precept of how we're to live our lives. I think we could simplify our lives a whole lot by just simply remembering those things.
Well,
how many people do you know,
how did God speak to you today? Or I'm looking for God to speak to me in a certain way. Well, he does speak.
He says,
don't do that. He says, do that.
So probably about 80%, maybe even more, of the complicated things in our lives could be simplified by simply paying attention to what God is saying in his word.
Yeah.
You know, so, all right, so we're talking about the personal will of God here. We've dealt with his preceptive will both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, with Christ's commands.
This is just daily stuff.
Expounding upon, and even in the apostles' commands, expounding upon what was going on in the Old Testament. Now let's move more into his directive will, which I would call kind of our everyday walking, maybe some of those things that are not so clear that we don't know right off the bat.
Well, also included is this is the whole thing of what people saying, what is God's will for me to do with my life?
Right.
Well, some of that we should have already answered in the first point. But people are wanting to know, am I supposed to be a missionary? Am I supposed to be a doctor? You know, it never says that in Scripture.
Mm.
So, but God has promised in Psalm 32:8 that he will guide us, he will instruct us and guide us in the way we should go. He will guide us with his eye upon us. You mentioned, was it Psalm 16?
11.
Yeah, you will show me the pathway.
That will show me the pathway. In thy presence is fullness of joy.
That's your right hand.
And I think a lot of times, just to kind of camp on that verse, we look at, you'll show me the path of life.
Mm-hmm.
But we fail to see that there needs to be a delighting
in the presence of God.
Yeah, and who God is, and that the pleasures are at his right hand. So when you're not delighting in God, when you're not delighting in his precepts, then how are you going to be knowing how you're supposed to walk?
He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Right.
And so God has promised to direct his people. I mean, he said in Romans 8:14 that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You know, so if you're a son of God, he's leading your life. Now, it's not always clear how he's leading. His hand is sometimes hard to determine.
Well, and I think we often take these passages of Scripture wrongly. We think it will tell us every detail, you know, what I'm supposed to do, as though we get this special revelation of how this special situation in my life is supposed to be.
Yeah, the light comes on.
And now we need to know that he has promised to guide us along the way.
Yeah.
And do we not forget or to remember that this is a walk of faith?
It is. We walk by faith, not by sight.
Colossians says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus, walk in him. So you received him by faith, but now you're going to continue in him.
Follow his precept of will, trust him to guide our lives day by day. You know, I mean, Ephesians 2:10 brings out, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto, for the purpose of good works, which he has before ordained that we should walk in them. So he has a path, and that path is obedience to his will, the good works that are spelled out in Scripture.
There's that word ordained again, which kind of gets into what we talked about last week.
Yeah, yeah. And there's the mixture of the two, us walking in obedience and him ordaining. So that these two are not mutually exclusive.
Right.
They go together. I mean, even the suffering you brought up earlier, this is a part of God's directive will. God is directing that we suffer, Philippians 1:29, for unto you it is given, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer. And Peter says, even to this were you called, that as Christ suffered, you would suffer. These are a part, God directs us into these things.
Well, I think what happens, just to get personal, if you will, what happens is that people put their eyes on the circumstances and then interpret Scripture according to their circumstances.
Right.
So what happens is, and I've run into this before, is that I don't understand why all this is happening to me. Well, God told you in Scripture that this was going to happen.
This is not, think it not strange.
In fact, he telegraphed it. You know what I'm saying?
Peter says, think it not strange that some fire trials should come upon you. You think this is strange?
Weird.
This is normal stuff?
Weird. Yeah.
This is supposed to happen.
And I think people do interpret their circumstances based upon their lack of knowledge of Scripture.
Yeah, and the way they want things to be, too.
Right? We all do it. Yeah. I don't even want to act like that I don't do it. I do. Sometimes things happen, I go, why in the world am I here? Why is this happening?
Yeah.
And I fail to see that these things that God has ordained in my life are part of his plan for my life.
Yeah.
And if I really want to get honest with myself, I just don't like it.
Yeah. And I think it should be different. Yeah. And sometimes there's a sense in which biblically it should be different. But as we quote that one person one time, sometimes what isn't to be happens. You know?
Yeah. And it does. And it does.
But we probably ought to just to wrap this up by talking about God's directive will is both ongoing. He leads us along. He leads us along the path of life. It's unfolding.
Right.
And because it's unfolding, we don't see much of it until it happens.
We don't know the whole story when we're in it.
No.
I mean, we look back at the Old Testament and call the Israelites a bunch of dummies. Well, yeah, we know the whole story.
Yeah. But it's kind of like the guy who's walking down the street, and if he'd known there was a guy with a gun around the corner, what he'd done, he would have stopped and gone another direction, or he'd called the police or something. Right. But he didn't know. There are things around the corner we have that are unfolding,
right,
a part of God's plan. If we knew it, we'd try to avoid it.
Well, and I think not to also downplay this, because we really haven't talked about it that much, but Romans 8:14, which talks about the Spirit of God leading us.
Yeah.
Actually, all of Romans 8 talks about the Spirit of God leading us and how that if you're not led of the Spirit, then you're not of God.
Yeah, sons of God are led by the Spirit of
right.
God.
Right. And so it's a great evidence of that God is in you and he is working in you. And I think so many times, though, the Spirit of God is this almost kind of this, it's almost like a genie out of the bottle type of thing. We rub the Spirit of God and then the genie comes out and tells us what we do.
Yeah, we rub it with prayer.
You know, with prayer. And that's kind of how we approach it. Whereas the Spirit of God is a part of the process.
Yeah.
It's ongoing and unfolding.
Yeah.
In his word, coupled with his word. That's why the scripture says we worship him in spirit and in truth.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I'm not talking about Sunday morning singing. I'm talking about living your life.
Well, and we just want to be quick to say, does that mean we shouldn't pray about God's will? No, by all means pray.
Yeah.
But trust God to work it out. And sometimes you won't see the whole picture. In fact, most of the time you won't.
But praise God for it, because we're serving a God who is in control and does all things good, remember.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, we run out of our time here. We thank you for joining us today. We look forward to being with you next week. Crosstalk is a production of Vision for Living Ministries. This is a free resource, but if you would like to support us, you can do so by visiting visionforliving.org/support. For more information on Vision for Living Ministries, visit our website, where you will find other resources, including our blog. You can also find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/V4L. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at info@visionforliving.org or send us a message on Facebook. Join us next week on Crosstalk, the gospel for today.